My name is Chaya Rapp, and this is Divrei Hayamim, Perek Yud. Perek Yud deals with the death of Shaul HaMelech, the first king of Israel. The story is also recounted in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph. The story begins with an attack by the Plishtim, the Philistines, and many deaths, including Shaul's three sons. When the Plishtim catch up with Shaul, he asks his arms bearer to kill him out of fear that the Plishtim will torture him. The arms bearer refuses, and Shaul kills himself. The Plishtim then invade the cities, find the corpses of Shaul and his sons, and hang Shaul's head by the temple of their idol. The people of Yavesh Gilad, who had a special loyalty to Shaul after he had defended them from a previous enemy, take the corpses and bury them, and fast for 7 days. The commentaries on the Navi, as well as the books of Halacha, have struggled with the question of how is it appropriate for Shaul to kill himself. Suicide is explicitly forbidden by the Torah, based on a pasuk in Parshas Noach, Perek Tes, Va'ach es dimchem l'nafshosechem edrosh, for your own lifeblood I will demand. The Gemara says this refers to a person who takes his own life. How do we know that what Shaul did was considered appropriate? Shmuel Beis Perek Chaf Aleph tells of a 3-year famine during David HaMelech's reign. David inquires of Hashem as to the cause for the famine, and Hashem answers, Vayomer Hashem El Shaul Vel Beis Hadamim Al Asher Himis Es Hagavonim. Hashem lists 3 reasons, but the first is El Shaul. Rashi explains, because of Shaul, Al Avon Shaul Shenekbar Pisom Behachbei, as punishment for Shaul, who was buried in a rush and secretly, Velonis Spad Lafik Fodo, and he was not eulogized with the respect that was due to him. The halacha is that in general, a suicide is not eulogized. So the fact that the people were punished for not properly eulogizing Shaul makes it clear that he was not condemned for his actions. In fact, on the pasuk in Noach, which prohibits suicide, Medrash Rabbah makes the following comment. Yachol kishaul, does this apply to Shaul? Talmud lomar, ach. The pasuk uses the exclusionary term ach. Yachol kechananya mishal vazarya, does this apply to Hananiel, Mishal, and Azarya, who threw themselves into the fire? Talmud lomar, ach. The pasuk says ach. In other words, there are cases in which the prohibition does not apply, and a person is permitted to take his own life. For example, Shaul, who we'll discuss further, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were willing to give up their lives in order to avoid committing idolatry. Regarding Shaul, Radak explains, V'lo chata Shaul b'hargo atzmo. Shaul did not sin when he killed himself. V'afal pisha kasuv achas dimchem l'nafshoseichem edrosh, klomar mi'etchem edrosh oso im t'hargo atzmachem. And even though the pasuk in Noach says, I will demand of you if you kill yourself, Lafisha haya yodea Shaul ki sofo haya lamus b'melchama, because Shaul knew he was going to die in this war. How is he certain? One, because the enemy had caught up with him and there was no escape. But beyond that, Shmuel had told him he was going to die. In Perek Chaf Ches, Shaul communicates with the deceased Shmuel with the help of a necromancer, and asks him what is going to be with this war. In response, Shmuel delivers a chilling prophecy. V'yitein Hashem gam es Yisrael imcha b'yad plishtim. Hashem is going to give you over into the hands of the plishtim. U'machar ata uvanecha imi, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Radak continues that since Shaul was certain that he was going to die, tov haya she'arok hu atzmo v'lo yisal lubo, it was better that he kill himself rather than be tortured. Malbim similarly says that the words of the pasuk emphasize that it was a combination of 2 factors. Dikaruni vizisalu bi. They will pierce me, in other words, they'll kill me, and they will make a mockery of me. They'll torture me first. It was the expectation of imminent death along with the prospect of torture that made his actions permitted. The Sefer Hasidim, written by Rabbi Huda Chassid in Germany in the Middle Ages, disagrees and says that these 2 factors alone would not be sufficient justification for Shaul to have taken his own life. He says, Im adam sovel yisurim gedolim, if a person suffers greatly, vomer lechad echad ploni, ataro esh lo achya hargeni, ki lo chalasbol, and he says to someone, you see that I will not survive, kill me, because I cannot withstand the suffering, ali gabo, he should not kill him. Aval sha'ol mutar, Shaul was permitted, mipnei shelo yischalel shem shamayim b'Yisrael. Shaul was permitted so that there not be a chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name, that a king of Israel be tortured and killed by the enemy. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid goes on to emphasize, v'im yisurim gdolim ba'em al adam v'yodea shelo yechya, and if great suffering comes upon a person and he knows he will not live, eino yachol laharog et atzmo, he emphasizes again, if a person suffers greatly and knows he will not live, he may not kill himself. And this is learned from Rabbi Chanina ben Trajon, who was killed by the Romans by fire and would not do anything to accelerate his death. This discussion has obvious halachic ramifications for end-of-life questions relating to terminal illness and suffering. These are intensely challenging questions and obviously require the input of halachic authority. What brought about Shaul's downfall? The Gemara in Yuma Chaf Beis says the following regarding the difference between Shaul and David. Amar Rav Huna, Kama la chalev la margesh gavra demare sae. Rav Huna says, how free from concern and worry is a man who Hashem helps. Shaul b'achas v'alsa lo, David b'shtayim v'lo alsa lo. Shaul sinned once, and that was the end of him, while David sinned twice, and he endured. Shaul b'achas maihi, what was Shaul's one sin? Masa da'agag, the fact that he was instructed to wipe out all of Amalek, and he spared King Agag. What were David's two sins? His sin with Bathsheba and the fact that he counted the people. Why are David and Shaul treated differently? To think about this question, let's go back a step. Why was Shaul king in the first place? In Yaakov's bracha to Yehuda, he says, Lo yasur shevet miYehuda, the scepter shall not depart from Yehuda, meaning kings will always come from shevet Yehuda. Shaul was from shevet Binyamin. How was he appointed to be king? In Shmuel Parakhes, the people requested a king while they were under the leadership of Shmuel. Hashem considered their request inappropriate at the time because they had Shmuel as their leader, and he should have been enough. He was both a Navi, a prophet, and a military leader. Nonetheless, Hashem granted their request by anointing a king, but not a king from the tribe of Yehuda, from whom royalty would never depart, a king from a different Shevet. The Pasuk in Hosea describes Shaul's monarchy as follows, Etein lecha melech ba'api ve'kach bevrasi. I gave you a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. In other words, the beginnings of Shaul's monarchy spelled the end. It was never meant to last. And ultimately, the kingship would go to Shevet Yehuda, from where it would never depart. What if Shaul had not sinned? A Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel, indicates that had Shaul not sinned, his kingdom could have endured. Mayomer Shmuel el Shaul niskalta. Shmuel said to Shaul, you have acted foolishly. Lo shamarta es mitzvas Hashem elokecha asher tzivcha. You have not kept the commandments of Hashem. Ki ata hechin Hashem es malblachtal Yisrael ad olam. Otherwise, Hashem would have established your dynasty over Israel forever. Ramban said the phrase over Israel may indicate that he would have ruled over part of Israel, possibly over the tribes from his mother's side, Binyamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, the sons of Yosef. Alternatively, he might have reigned under the authority of a king from Yehuda in a kind of vice king type of role. In contrast to Shaul, David descended from the royal tribe of Yehuda, and he was inherently suited for royalty. His sins were considered aberrations and didn't prevent him from being worthy as king. Shaul, on the other hand, was chosen because of his personal greatness, not because he was meant for royalty, and therefore one sin was enough to topple him, so to speak, from the throne. What was Shaul's sin? In Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tezvav, Shaul is instructed to wipe out all of Amalek, men, women, children, and animals. Shaul disobeys and spares the king Agag and some of the animals. Hashem appears to Shmuel and says, Nichamti, ki imlachti Shaul lemelech, ki shav me'acharai. I regret that I made Shaul king, for he has turned away from me. Shmuel then reports to Shaul, ki ma'astas dvar Hashem, because you rejected the word of Hashem. Vayema'ascha Hashem yos melech al Yisrael. Hashem has rejected you as king over Israel. This is not spelled out in the Perek in Shmuel that's parallel to our Perek, which describes the death of Shaul. Our Perek, however, ends with the sins of Shaul. The Psukim read as follows. Vayamash Shaul b'ma'alo asher ma'al b'Hashem. Shaul died because of his sins. Al dvar Hashem, because of the word Hashem, asher lo shamar, that he did not listen. V'gam l'shol b'ov l'drosh. And also he consulted a necromancer. V'lo derash b'Hashem, and he didn't inquire of Hashem. Vayimisehu, and Hashem killed him. Vayasev es hamlucha l'David ben Yishai. And the kingdom was transferred to David, the son of Yishai. The Medrash in Vayikra Rabba says that the words of these last two psukim allude to five sins of Shaul. The Medrash reads as follows. Tanu Rabbanan, achamisha chata'im neherag osot tzadik. Because of five sins, that tzadik Shaul was killed. Note that the Gemara previously said that Shaul lost his kingdom over one sin, and here, the Medrash lists five. It could be that the focus of that Gemara was why he lost the kingdom in particular, while here we're dealing with Shaul's death in general. The Medrash lists the sins as follows. Shenemar v'yama Shaul b'ma'alo asher ma'al. The words, Shaul died with his sin. Al sharag nov ir ha-kohanim. He killed Nov, the city of Kohanim, accusing them of collaboration with David against him. Two, Va'al Shechamal al Agag, he had mercy on King Agag, the Amalekite king. Three, Al Shaloshamal Shmuel, Shnemar Shivas Yomim Tochal Adbo Ie Lacha, Vlo Asakach. He did not listen when Shmuel said, wait 7 days until I return. Four, Al Shasha'al Bo'ov Yedoni, he consulted a necromancer to communicate with Shmuel. Five, Lo Darashas Hashem, he did not seek Hashem. This refers to an incident in Shmuel Perak Yodalid when in the middle of a war, he told the Kohen not to consult the Urim Tumim due to the pressure and chaos of the war. The language of the Medrash, Al-Chamisha Chata'im Neherag Osot Tzadik, because of five sins this tzadik was killed, highlights that despite his missteps, Shaul is characterized as a tzadik, a righteous person. Das Sofrim writes that the disastrous defeat of Shaul's army was perhaps one of the most tragic events of the era preceding and during the First Temple period. The Plishtim, a small coastal people, overwhelmed the Jewish army, and the first king of Israel, together with his family, was killed and his body disgraced. The people at that time could not have imagined that they would rise from the low described in our Perek to the greatness of the kingdom of David HaMelech that we will read about in the ensuing chapters. Ezra depicts the sharp contrast between these two periods as a lesson to his contemporaries, who were still recovering from the destruction and the exile, that like their ancestors, they too could return quickly to greatness. The shir is dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bas Gedaliahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.